so much like us, and you may associate yourself with one or more of those three characters. Over the years, I've come to realize that depending on where you are in your life journey, you associate yourself with a different character in this story. If you're a young person, or a vastly old person, you might sort of associate yourself with the younger son. He is out to grab life. And so he goes to his father and requests something unheard of. I want my inheritance before it's due. I want it now. Sounds familiar. I don't want to wait. And so the father, being a bit of a pushover, I suppose, or maybe a very nice person, goes ahead and gives away the inheritance. And it's no surprise. The son goes off. There he is. He's going to Disneyland. He's buying himself a new Ferrari. He's got himself in with a crowd that likes to gamble and drink and carry on. He is having the time of his life. This loop living doesn't sound so bad. He's having fun. We identify with that character because, you know, he's in some ways doing what many of us long to do, to just let loose and live without restrictions, without social mores. And that's the grace that he receives. You see, his father could have simply said, look, under the rules of society, you don't get your inheritance until I die. And I'm not planning to do that anytime soon. So you'll just have to wait. And besides that, what have you ever done to deserve an inheritance anyway? But he doesn't. He gives his son freedom and the means to pursue his life. And the son receives that grace and takes off it. Well, you know how the story goes, of course, which is, it's sort of like winning the lottery. It looks really good at the beginning, and it's an interesting statistic. How many people who won over $1 million in the lottery end up in bankruptcy within 3 years? Even people who have won $10 and $20 million in lotteries or gambling or whatever, it's a statistic that's amazing how often they end up destitute and in debt. He takes it all and consumes it. If you were in another place in your life, you might identify with the father, the parent, the good man, who I sort of think of in this story of the poor cleaver of life. Steady, calm, very cruel. For those of you under the age of 40, cleaver, poor cleaver, the beaver, you'll get up on the internet. One of the hard things about preaching is this whole generational thing, right? Because you probably have a Lady Gaga, but I do. And this is not like Lady Gaga here. But the father is really in an interesting situation. He's got these two boys, and the son comes to him, and he wants what's good? What's right? And so what is the grace that he receives in this story? Well, he gets the gift, gets to give the gift. And he has that grace of allowing his son freedom to go and live. I mean, feel for the younger son. He was a farmer, for goodness sake. Can you imagine those of you who didn't come from Iowa? Like, you know, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you watch the sun not be up, you make your coffee, you go and you swap pigs, and you check the milk deal, and if you're really unfortunate, you have to stick your hand up in the rear end of the chickens. And you get the eggs. That's where your eggs come from, chickens. Chickens. So you can see why the kid went. You know the title. They're always there. They're the ones that when the older son is left because he's sick with his little brothers, and the younger son is always like, hey, I want this and I want that and I deserve everything. It's the responsible little child who's there doing the dishes and mowing the lawn, and that's who he is. And at the end of the story, you wonder how you can possibly see any grace at all in any of this. But it's there. So, back to the younger son. Off he goes. He has this familiar episode. He's hungry, tired, and dirty, and he realizes that life and freedom and grasping a hold of things is not everything. It was cracked up to be that in this wonderful line of scripture it says, he came to himself. It's a great word. There he was, absolutely engrossed in his own debauchery. And he comes to himself. He literally wakes up to his reality. And he thinks to himself, I would be better off as a slave in my father's household than to live free like this. He was. And in this very powerful scene, Jesus tells the story how the boy was still far off before he even had a chance to say, Dad, I'm so sorry, I'm such a bad son. I'm sorry I wasted your money and your time and my time. I'm sorry for making a fool of you and of me. Before he has even a chance to take a breath, his father sees him far off, runs to greet him, and wraps him in his face. Says that he folded his arms around him, he embraced him, and he kissed him. And only then does the son realize. It's opposite of how we do it. Listen to our song for today. I confess my sins, O God, and then you forgive. This is this text of forgiveness comes first. That's unlooking, undeserved, poetic, beautiful. The father has a kiss in the covenant. He says, let's do it again. My son was lost, his home was lost, is now found. Hallelujah. Praise God! Though we were impatient, none of the stuff that I would have expected, certainly. I was channeling my dad this morning. Well, you know, if you manage to straighten out and fly right for at least a month, then you might consider reinstating your privileges. Right? You ever done that? Can't you just behave? Or even worse, look what you have done. My reputation is in tatters. Let's celebrate. And then the older son, who, as one of my colleagues said, is the shaft of the whole story. That comes up. He hears the party going on for his younger brother, and he's thinking, you have got to be kidding me. I distinctly remember getting up and putting my hand in the chickens this morning. Where was he? Where was he when I saw the pigs this morning? When I was down working with the slaves and bringing them the grain and doing all of this stuff? Where was that old moron? I'm tired of him. Dad, how could you do this without even a moment of respect for his father? She says, this son of yours is back, and you give him everything. Nothing. Not even a scrawny little half-fed goat so I can have a little party with my friends. Nothing can be done. No reward have I received. But wait. At the beginning of the story, when the son was asking, the younger son was asking for money, who got the inheritance? Father showers upon me. And he says, my son, you are always with me. And everything I have belongs to you. But we have to suffer. Because what was lost is now found. He couldn't see the grace of his Father because he had been swimming in it all along. It's like air. It's all around you, and you hardly ever notice it. It's so unpresent. It's so just there. But even walking and swimming and almost drowning in grace from day one, so you could not see that grace on grace. So the prodigal son comes back to the father. His old brother is severely disappointed. And the father, who throughout the whole story acts most uncharacteristic of a father on that time, continues to shout at us. So Jesus sits with the tax collectors and prostitutes and eats with them as he indeed welcomes home those who have gone off on their wayward way and want to know, how can you do this? And the answer from Jesus is a story about grace. About how God's response to our wayward lives, our lack of care of our neighbors and our hurt, our neighbors.